Now, we might think of a box of macaroni and cheese as the perfect food to feed the kids in a hurry. Some adults, maybe a lot of adults, like it too. As the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S., sales of Kraft macaroni and cheese were up 27% in April from the same time the year before. General Mills, the maker of Annie's Mac and Cheese, saw a big increase in their sales too. The reliable comfort food has a pretty long history and was a solution to an age-old problem. Jeffrey Campbell is an associate professor in the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at Colorado State University. He wrote the piece, An Ode to Mac and Cheese, the Poster Child for Processed Food, for The Conversation. Jeff, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Jeff, nowadays processed foods like mac and cheese get a bad rap for some people who say, yeah, fresher stuff is healthier. In the piece you wrote, people looked at mac and cheese as a different time as a healthier alternative. Why is that?
Well, when things like mac and cheese first came out, we were still on the tail end of a time when people did a lot of their own food processing, when people didn't have access to adequate refrigeration. And so something like that was a little healthier. In fact, processed cheese kind of came about because, well, you're in the dairy state, but cheese didn't keep very well in the summertime. And so scientists were trying to figure out a way to make cheese an all-year food instead of just a winter food.
And in your piece, you talk about we humans have loved the combination of pasta and cheese for a lot longer than mac and cheese has been around. How long does that combo go back?
Well, we're not sure where it originates, but there are recipes going back 500 or 600 or 700 years. The Italians have been putting together cheese and pasta from the earliest days, since wheat pasta was part of the big diet there and cheese was part of the diet. So it's got a long and honorable history.
Well, take us back to the origins of what we now think of as the packaged mac and cheese. How did it come about?
Well, it came about with the efforts of a cheese salesman named Kraft. And Kraft started his business in Chicago, and he was peddling cheese. And business was pretty good in the winter. It wasn't so good in the summer. In fact, some merchants wouldn't even stock cheese in the summer because it went bad so quickly. So he fiddled around with ways to try and preserve cheese. And he tried canning it, and he tried putting it in jars, and he tried putting it in aluminum packages. And they all worked fairly well, but he didn't get much consumer acceptance of the product. So he started fooling around with other things, and he took some cheese scraps and emulsified them with some phosphates and came up with what we think of as processed cheese today. And it was a hit from the beginning. It was inexpensive. It was convenient. It was flavorful. It melted better than traditional cheeses. And it found a niche, found an audience right away.
Right. This was seen as kind of a liberating thing, it sounds like, because here you could have the basis of a meal for your family in, you know, 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah, this processed foods get a bad rap today. As I laughingly tell my students, we badmouth processed foods usually with a mouth full of it. But it really liberated women a lot. Women's role was in the kitchen all day in a lot of circumstances, and processed foods like macaroni and cheese allowed them to have some free time, allowed them to pursue some avocations, allowed them to pursue professions. So for a lot of women, it was a godsend from drudgery.
And in this day and age, we do have, and you've alluded to this, this kind of love-hate relationship. We're suspicious of the powdered food with the sodium and all of that in it. And yet, it's something I think a lot of people, grown-ups as well as kids, turn to as a comfort food. Can you talk about that little contradiction we have there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We like to badmouth it, but the sale of things that are processed is never really gone away. Almost everything that all the processed foods that have been developed in the 20th century are still on the market someplace. Spam still has good sales. Tang still has good sales. Macaroni and cheese has great sales. And, you know, in tough times, foods like that are from our childhood, they give us comfort. But boy, macaroni and cheese, it after I wrote this article, I had friends who emailed me and say, oh, I love that kind of macaroni and cheese. These are, 40 and 50-year-old people.
I see. Restaurants sometimes have the upscale, fancy macaroni and cheese that my kids want nothing to do with. What do you think about that? This effort to, take this really simple, humble classic and then make it, you know, fancier with eight different kinds of fancy cheese.
Oh, yeah, we see that a lot in restaurants, and they're just trying to cue on to the fact that everybody loves macaroni and cheese. It's really universal. It cuts across class and age and race. And so if you're an upscale restaurateur, of course, you're going to put some upscale cheese on it. If you're a farm-to-table restaurant, you're going to put some local cheesemaker, you know, artisanal cheesemaker's cheese on it. But in the end, everybody loves mac and cheese. It's something from every market segment, from quick service to fine white tablecloth dining. Everybody's in on it.
Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Jeffrey Campbell, associate professor in the Food Science and Human Nutrition Department at Colorado State University. He wrote about the history of mac and cheese for The Conversation.